right after the international news.
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the January 18th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. It's day 10 at the Africa Cup of Nations football tournament in Cameroon. 24 teams began the competition, but by the end of Thursday's matches, only 16 will still be in contention. There will be rest days on Friday and Saturday, and then the knockout stage will begin on Sunday, January 23rd. Joining us now from Cameroon with another spicy Nations Cup update is Samson Omale. Sporty Nations Cup greetings, Samson.
Sporty Nations Cup greetings to you, Sonny. On Monday, Group A matches ended with a series of 1-1 draws. We saw Burkina Faso and Cameroon move on to the knockout stage, but sent Ethiopia home and kept Cape Verde in suspense. Cameroon gave up a second-half goal to the Cape Verde Islands as they were held to a 1-1 draw on Monday, but the host still finished top of Group A. Captain Vincent Abubakar scored his fifth goal of the tournament to put Cameroon in the lead in the 39th minute before halftime substitute Gary Rodriguez equalized in the 53rd minute. Cameroon, as Group A winners, will face a third-place finisher from Group C, D, or E at the Olympic Stadium on Monday, 24th of January in the round of 16. Dynamo Moscow winger Inge Clinton, who is making a third consecutive African appearance, says the draw against Cape Verde wasn't what they had hoped for.
I think it was a mixed emotions. We finished first. We're happy to finish first in the group, but we wanted 9 points. And I think my teammates, they're a little bit sad about the results, but at the end, we're still first in our group, and that's the most important thing. Now we're looking forward to for the 16th. With the COVID, it's not easy to help the group, and to move around with this situation is very complicated. Our group, we are here, we'll find... I think we are able now to stabilize our health, and that's very important for us, and the security too. And now it was one of our objectives to stay here so we could continue with our 28 players and the staffs. So it was very important for us to stay here.
Cape Verde's Roberto Lopez, who plays for Shamrock Rovers in the Republic of Ireland, said the draw may qualify them for the next round.
Yeah, it's going to be very difficult, as you say, especially after a performance like that, to come back from 1-0 against a Cameroon team who are flying in this tournament. You feel like you've gotten an unbelievable result, but it's not an unbelievable result until you're in the second phase. So, yeah, we'll be watching and hoping that our efforts today were enough to see us through to the next phase.
Also in Group A, Burkina Faso secured a place in the knockout stage after Cyril Bayala's first half goal helped them to an uninspiring 1-1 draw with Ethiopia, and second place in Group A at the Kouakang Stadium in Bofisam on Monday, while the Wailer Ibex have been eliminated after ending at the bottom of the standings. Burkina Faso, as Group A runners-up, will face the runners-up from Group C in their round of 16 clash in Limbe on Sunday, 23rd of January. On Tuesday, Ghana and Senegal are among the teams from Group B and C that will be fighting to secure their spot in the next round. Ghana will be desperate to avoid an early exit at the African Cup of Nations when they face the Comoros in their final match of Group C at the Romde Aija Stadium in Garoua. The Black Stars are under pressure after picking up just 1 point from their opening two games at the Showpiece event in Cameroon to sit third in the group. Doubleton Comoros currently occupy bottom spot in their pool after losing to both Gabon 1-0 and Morocco 2-0. However, they can take heart from their performance, having not been overrun in either clash. Black Stars' Jonathan Mensah says the mood in camp is good.
Even though we know it's a very crucial game for us, all we need to do is go out there, play hard, and win for the nation. I believe every team got their ups and downs, and you know, the first two games, you know, we got a point from the first two games. We still have a game to go. I don't know about any problems going on in camp. You know, it's been like this for us. You know, the first time he was in charge of the team, I remember us losing 3-1 against Ivory Coast, and then we went on, you know, through the tournament to the final. So all we need to do is just win this last game and then progress to the next stage. We have lots of debutants on the team, so blending in with the experienced players, we knew it was going to be tough. So we are there to guide the young ones, you know, through this phase, and then we move to the next stage.
Blackstars coach Milovan Rajavak dispelled the insinuation that communication between the players and himself was a problem for the team.
I took the team when we were second, and we managed to finish the group stage as the first place. And I was working here before, communication was never a problem. I talked to the players a lot, and they understand what they want. We came across some obstacles, but we are ready to improve our performance. You know, it was a short period of time for all of us, so we are the team that is growing, though. So sometimes it takes time and patience, but I'm sure we will continue in a good spirit, and we have what it takes.
In other games on Tuesday, Guinea will go into their final African Cup of Nations Group B match against Zimbabwe, looking to secure top spot, while it will be the first versus the second in Group C, as Morocco square off against Gabon also on Tuesday. Morocco have secured their place in the knockout stages after winning their opening two games, while the Los Panthers need just a draw to progress.
You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Hosting the 2021 African Cup of Nations in a pandemic era will continue to generate critical comments and analysis on how Cameroon and CAF have been able to manage the situation so far in the tournament, which is in its second week. Henry Luma, the Director General, Douala General Hospital, speaks about how the hospital has put in place measures to manage testing and coordinate COVID-19 protocols, especially during the tournament.
According to the African Football Confederation requirements, we are now supposed to have dedicated places for COVID patients as well as for those attending the games. For example, we are supposed to have in the emergency department beds, two rooms for observing the patients who come into the emergency unit, as well as dedicated spaces for consultation. In the medical and surgical wards, we have in each of the services two rooms, single rooms, providing premium services with all options. And now in the COVID unit, we have two beds dedicated for COVID patients where we have respirators and all that is necessary for their resuscitation. Then in the general intensive care unit, we also have two rooms. So as regards taking care of players, taking care of officials, we are ready to receive them.
That's Henry Luma, the Director General, Douala General Hospital in Cameroon. And thanks to Samson Omale for another spicy package of Africa Cup of Nations football news.
Hello, Jonathan Mensah here, Black Stars defender and Columbus Crew captain. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on Voice of America.
Rwandan referee Salima Mukansanga is making more history on this Tuesday at the Africa Cup of Nations football tournament in Cameroon. Last week in Bafoussam, Cameroon, Salima became the first woman to officiate a match at the men's AFCON when she was fourth official in a game between Guinea and Malawi. On Tuesday evening in Cameroon's capital, Yaoundé, Mukansanga will lead the first all-women officiating team at the Nations Cup match between Zimbabwe and Guinea. Salima is the referee for the game. The other women match officials are assistant referees Karina Atamzambong of Cameroon and Fatia Jermoumi of Morocco, and video assistant referee Bushra Karboubi of Morocco. Ejene Uwimana joins us now from Kigali with an encore feature profile of Salima Mukansanga. Sporty Nations Cup greetings, Ejene.
Sporty Nations Cup greetings, Sunny.
I'm happy with my profession.
Salima Mukansanga is putting Rwanda on the map. Sports analyst Ethan Tashobia says,
as sports fans, we're not entirely happy that Rwanda is not represented on the field in terms of playing, having a team that is playing for the country. This is something that we've been waiting for since 2004 when we last represented, participated in the competition. But again, having Sarima Mukansanga as the first ever female referee to officiate at the finals of Africa Cup of Nations is such a huge milestone, not only for Rwanda, but I mean for the African women sportsmen and referees. I think she's opening up for future milestones.
In 1988 in Western Rwanda, a girl who would make history was born in the Rusizi district near the border of the Democratic Republic of Congo. Salima Mukansanga is a nurse by education. She has a bachelor's degree in nursing, which she received from the University of Yitwe. I had the chance to talk with Salima a few days before she flew to France to officiate matches at the 2019 Women's World Cup. She said her father was a big influence in her becoming a football referee. I believe I got this talent from my dad. He was a sportsman. He was not a referee like me, but he played football a long time ago. And when he was old, he used to sponsor football clubs. Salima says when she started as a ref in 2008, she was harshly criticized by football fans who said being an official on the pitch is a man's job. I reached the point where I was about to quit. You see, I do a lot of physical exercises and I get paid per match. So that time matches were not many, which means there was no money. It was difficult for me, but because I knew what I wanted and it is my passion, I had to be resilient. Salima says her big dream is to officiate matches at Senior Men's World Cup. However, football is not her favorite sport. When she was in secondary school, she loved to play basketball, but due to a lack of female teams, she couldn't continue. Her vision changed, and now she says she exercises 6 days a week to stay fit and achieve her dream. Salima says one setback to her development has been the lack of female football competitions in Rwanda. In our country, female competitions are not many, and to get access to international ones is not easy. It's a problem because the more you get men matches, the better you become. In becoming an international football referee, Salima Mukansanga has empowered many Rwandan girls. So says a sports commentator at Rwanda Broadcasting Agency, Rugoga Ruth. When girls hear the story of Salima, they understand that it's possible. It motivates them to keep believing in sports and consider it as a career, a profession that you can make a living with. She's a Rwandan treasure. Rwanda has been recognized globally for its efforts to promote women in politics and other fields. Ethan Tashobia says Salima is a visible product of these initiatives.
I think the international community, especially Africa, is recognizing the effort that the Rwandan government is putting into to support women, to empower women in all sectors. And when Salima Mukansanga was given an opportunity to officiate at the just concluded Olympic Games, I think the CAF was awake. They were watching and they were like, this lady is from Rwanda. She's from Africa, from a country that has been at the top of women empowerment in all sectors, politics. And then here we have a sports personality in her own category. I think it's sort of attached to the entire effort that the country, the government of Rwanda is putting in to empower women.
The Confederation of African Football, CAF, says Salima Mukansanga is one of 63 referees at the African Cup of Nations tournament in Cameroon. For the Sunny Side of Sports, I'm Ejene Uwimana, reporting from Kigali, Rwanda.
Thanks, Ejene. The Flames of Malawi are making their third Nations Cup appearance, and they're hoping to reach the knockout stage for the first time. But the Flames have a tough opponent this evening in their final Group B match. 2019 Nations Cup finalist Senegal. Now, going into Tuesday's matches, Guinea and Senegal lead the group with 4 points from 2 games. Malawi has 3 points, and Zimbabwe, with no points, has been eliminated. For more on the chances of Malawi advancing, Iron Mike Mbonye contacted an online editor with the Nation Media Group in Nairobi, Kenya, David Kwalimwa.
Malawi were pulled in a relatively tough group, Malawi being a newcomers and not quite a seasoned side on the African continent. So coming in a group that had Guinea and Senegal, they had it all to do, the flames from Malawi. And it was understandable that they've only managed to beat Zimbabwe from this group. And with their final match coming up against Senegal, then it's a tall order. You'll have to struggle to see Malawi getting something from that game. And the fact that Malawi and Zimbabwe are also struggling against West African teams just goes on to show how West and the North African teams have really dominated in this tournament, with the East African sides and Southern African sides, Central African sides, really struggling against seasoned opponents in this tournament. So Malawi have almost 1 foot out of the tournament. And you have to also remember that the team did struggle earlier on with a couple of COVID cases to some reliable players who were ruled out of the tournament and had to be replaced with the players who had not really participated in the pre-tournament. So a tall order for the Flames of Malawi in this tournament, and it's hard to see them progressing to the group, to the knockout stages of the Africa Cup of Nations at the expense of either Guinea or Senegal.
Some football analysts had predicted that Senegal and Guinea will top Group B. Do you think Malawi is still in contention for a good finish in the group?
I agree with the prediction. I expect Guinea and Senegal to top the Group B and progress to the later stages of the tournament. I also expect Senegal to contest for the title of the Africa Cup of Nations this time round. Remember, they got to the final of the tournament last when it was last held in Egypt in 2019, when they lost to Algeria. But this time they're looking good. They have a stronger squad. So Guinea and Senegal looking very good in this tournament, and Malawi, unfortunately, not good enough to challenge these two teams as it is at the moment.
In your opinion, what led to Zimbabwe's poor finish in Group B?
Zimbabwe, first and foremost, do not quite have the quality to compete at a higher stage in this tournament. Qualifying for this tournament is one thing altogether, but getting to the Africa Cup of Nations and competing is another thing altogether. Yes, they do have a few players like Prince Dube, who's based in Tanzania at Azam, and a couple of players based in France in Europe. But overall, Zimbabwe are not quite known to be world beaters or continent beaters, so to speak, in this tournament. And the fact that they have struggled just goes on to show their ranking as among the lowest teams to have qualified for this event of the tournament. It's back to the drawing board for the Warriors from Zimbabwe. And it also goes on to emphasize my earlier statement in which West and North African teams have really contested this tournament and are always considered favorites to be able to progress and even win this tournament. And it's a wake-up call for East and Southern African sides to go back to the drawing board and find out what it entails to compete in a tournament of this caliber, with the results of Zimbabwe, Malawi and Ethiopia to some extent letting the world know that the gap between the West and North African teams and other teams on the continent is even widening for some time now.
That's David Kwalimwa, an online editor with the Nation Media Group in Nairobi, Kenya. And David spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Nairobi.
Hi, guys. I'm Ferdinand Omanyala, the fastest man in Africa, African 100-meter record holder. And now you're listening to Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we can all help fight the corona pandemic by wearing face masks that cover our mouths and nose when we are in crowded places or areas. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest news on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
I'm VOA Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. One of the most controversial incidents so far at the 33rd Africa Cup of Nations football tournament involved a Zambian referee officiating a match between Mali and Tunisia. For reaction to that story and others at the Nations Cup, my VOA colleague Jackson Vunganyi called Kampala, Uganda, where he reached sports commentator Jonah Byakutaga.
The Zambian referee, Johnny Sikazwe, ended the game in the 85th minute. Now, the game is supposed to end in the 90th minute. He took the teams off the pitch. The Tunisian officials protested. They then realized the mistake and came back on the pitch. He added 4 minutes and 39 seconds and still ended the match under 90 minutes, this time in the 89th minute with a few seconds. And then the Tunisian officials protested again. This time he led the teams off. The game was done. He was escorted off the pitch by security. And as the Mali officials were having a press conference after the game, it was interrupted by CAF officials and they were told they needed to return onto the pitch. This is about 35 minutes later and told they had to finish the game. The Tunisian team refused to come back onto the pitch because they were already in the ice baths and players had already taken their kits off. And Mali were declared winners. So basically that was the controversy in that game between Mali and Tunisia. Eventually Tunisia appealed, but CAF threw their appeal out and said Mali had won the game because Mali reported back onto the pitch while Tunisia refused to get back onto the pitch.
And is this referee, Janis Sikazwe, still officiating at the matches at the AFCON?
From what's been reported so far, he is still in Cameroon, which means his name is still in the hat for later games. And just something to note, Jackson, this guy is a good referee. He refereed the 2017 Africa Cup of Nations final that Cameroon won, beating Egypt 2-1. He was in charge of that game. He then officiated in the World Cup 2018, two games, including Belgium up against Panama. So he is a guy with a good reputation. He's refereed at the top.
CAF says that he had a heat stroke, and
That's the official explanation, that it was a heat stroke.
Okay.
And Jackson, before we move on from that referee issue, we just need to emphasize that this does not reflect what African football is about.
Okay. Now, this tournament is obviously different from the past AFCONs in that it's being played during a pandemic. How has this affected the players and the fans? Is the energy different this time around? Can you feel it?
To be fair, like any other tournament, we saw the Euros also struggle with COVID cases, players being isolated in the middle of the tournament. A few teams have been affected. Gabon, for me, has been the one that's been hit the most. Their own captain, Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, was sent back to England, to Arsenal, from Cameroon. They've discovered a few heart irregularities. And they've done checks. He and another teammate, Mario Lemina, who was also playing in the Premier League with Southampton a few seasons back, they've both been sent back to their respective clubs to get thorough checkups because their countries say they cannot do the thorough checks they need to do while in Cameroon. So they're trying to monitor, and it's all down to COVID. Both players had COVID earlier last week, and they've just recovered, and then they've discovered these discrepancies in their heart rhythms and what have you. So already that's a direct impact. Senegal themselves, who are the favorites of this tournament, have failed to field their best team. The goalkeeper, Bernard Mendy, who plays at Chelsea, is yet to play in this tournament. Their captain, Kalidou Koulibaly, who plays for Napoli in the Italian Serie A, is yet to play. Nampil's Mendy, who plays for Leicester City. Idrissa Gane Gaye also missed the previous game. He plays for PSG with Messi. So Senegal, as much as they're favorites, they've not hit the heights that everybody expects. And a big part of that is down to the COVID that's hit their camp.
What are some of the highlights so far, some of the standout moments that will always define this tournament, whether it's the upsets or the brilliant plays on the pitch?
I'll go with the positives first. I'll go with the highlight for me has been Cameroon, the host, stomping Ethiopia 4-1. They fell behind yet again for the second game running, and they bounced back and scored 4. It's been the biggest victory, second biggest victory, because Tunisia did thump Mauritania last night 4-0, rather the previous night 4-0. But Cameroon thumping Ethiopia 4-1 at home. That old man, Vincent Aboubakar, their captain, scoring twice. He's now the top scorer of the tournament with 5 goals. So for me, that's the highlight, because they're the host team. You want them in the tournament for as long as you can to keep the interest in the tournament. But you've got to mention the Gambia as well. Gambia themselves, the debutants, they are top of Group F with 4 points, and they could eliminate the giant Tunisia. If they beat Tunisia, Tunisia will likely and most likely would be heading home. So that's another big one, the Gambia being debutants in their first tournament.
That's sports commentator Jonah Byakutaga. And he spoke with my VOA colleague, Jackson Vunganyi, from Kampala, Uganda.
My name is Shida Len, a Ugandan 400 meters Olympian. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thank you.
Thank you, Shida. Bayern Munich star Robert Lewandowski was the big winner at the Best FIFA Football Awards Ceremony in Switzerland, as we hear now from VOA's Gwen Uten. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Monday's ceremony marked the final installment of the football awards season, and Robert Lewandowski finished off his standout 2021 campaign by taking home the FIFA Men's Player Award for a second straight year. In December, the Bayern Munich forward was crowned Fans Player of the Year and received the inaugural Maradona Award for Best Goal Scorer of the Year. He also took home the 2021 Striker of the Year Award during last month's Ballon d'Or ceremony and was named runner-up to Lionel Messi as the World Player of the Year. And on Monday night, he thanked his coaches, teammates, and the fans.
Thank you to all my teammates and my coaches, and thank you to everyone who voted for me. That's mean a lot for me, and I'm very happy. I want to say thank you for all the fans, for the support as well around the world, because that time, during pandemic time, it mean a lot. Sometimes we're playing without the fans, sometimes with. That is a very difficult time also for players, and this everything what we are doing is also for them, and that's why this prize goes also to my fans.
On the women's side, call it a clean sweep for Alexia Putellas, who followed her Ballon d'Or triumph by picking up the FIFA Best Women's Player Trophy Monday night. That hardware can be added to the Globe Soccer Player of the Year and UEFA Women's Player of the Year awards. And upon receiving her latest honor, Putellas said the past year had not sunk in yet, but she will carry on with the hope that even more success will come. Chelsea was also a big winner in Zurich, taking home 3 awards. Manager Thomas Tuchel was named the FIFA Men's Coach of the Year for 2021. Since taking over the team just 1 year ago, Tuchel led Chelsea to a Champions League title, and he said the Coach of the Year honor was hard to believe.
I cannot believe, and maybe it's better not to believe it, because just to enjoy it, and you can be very sure that I'm enjoying it. It's an incredible feeling. It's a great, great honor. But I will even maybe try hard not to believe it, because that would feel like being always close to being arrogant. And this is not what we want. So very, very grateful and very happy.
Chelsea coach Emma Hayes was named FIFA Women's Coach of the Year for leading her team to the Women's Super League, FA Cup, and League Cup treble in England. And Hayes said FIFA's recognition left her at a loss for words.
I'm completely shocked. I'm completely humbled. I just keep thinking about all my childhood and all my dreams and all the hard work that not only my family have put into me, because they allowed me to do my job, my profession. That support network is massive, but also the amazing players and staff that represent me every day. Like, unbelievably fortunate.
Senegal international goalie Edouard Mendy rounded out the night for Chelsea after he was named FIFA Men's Goalkeeper of the Year. And speaking of goals, Portugal's Cristiano Ronaldo was celebrated for becoming the highest scoring male in international football history. He was given a FIFA special award for that achievement, an honor Ronaldo says he is particularly proud of.
It's a special award for me to be the best goal scorer ever. So it's good. I have to say thank you to my old teammates since 2004, which is I started to play for the national team until now. great achievement. I'm so proud for that.
Ronaldo achieved another milestone Monday night after being voted into the FIFA Pro World 11 for the 17th year in a row. And that is all from me, Sonny. Back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uden. And that wraps up the January 18th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.